Hi, I'm Sarah Flower, and thanks for listening to KSUT. Today we are joined, as we do every Monday afternoon, with Leanne Gillon, Executive Director of San Juan Basin Public Health Department, giving us our weekly update on COVID-19. Hi, Leanne.
Sarah, thanks for having me today.
I want to start off, it's the first week of August, and I noticed this past weekend a ton of moving U-Hauls coming in, and I'm assuming that's students from around the area coming in. And I also have noticed that on San Juan Basin's dashboard for COVID-19 data, that there is a particular big spike in the demographic of 20 to 29-year-olds. So I want to start there and talk about this spike and as colleges are starting here locally and across the region, what that looks like for you at San Juan Basin.
Yeah, this is first of all, it's amazing that it's the first week in August. You know, this is the sixth month that we've been responding to this pandemic here locally. And we started our response on March 1st, which was a Sunday. So we're going into the beginning of our sixth month. And, I'm going to start by saying it feels like we've been at it a really long time. But the flip side of it is it's still a really young body of knowledge. So we're still learning new things all the time about the virus. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't have enough information to know how to best target containing disease. And if we were able to really figure out the best ways to contain disease, we would be able to open up more safely. So one of the things that we've seen is, you know, starting late this spring, a lot of states started, you know, rolling back the stay-at-home orders and rolling back the closures and trying to figure out how to open safely. It was supposed to be a very kind of measured, stepped forward openings without kind of ripping the Band-Aid off. And we've seen kind of as the summer wore on, a lot of 20 to 29-year-olds, that age group has been congregating, that age group has been, you know, socializing, visiting with individuals outside of their household. I mean, this is all very normal behavior. And unfortunately, 20 to 29-year-olds don't have, are less likely to have really severe symptoms. So they may not realize that they're sick. They could be asymptomatic, carriers of it, or be mildly affected. And we have seen here locally, we've seen it in the state of Colorado, we've seen it nationwide, that 20 to 29-year-olds can really start to spread infection around a community. So what happens when you get spikes in that age group is we initially don't see hospitalization spikes, and we don't see the spikes, you know, kind of getting throughout the community. But what we've seen in other states that are a little bit ahead of us in their 20 to 29-year-old case growth is about 4 weeks after you see a big increase in 20 to 29-year-olds, you start to see increases across all demographics. And that's because, you know, people live with individuals who are different ages. We work with individuals of different ages. We socialize with individuals of different ages. So it takes about 4 weeks generally from it to get from kind of young adults to, you know, spread out more evenly around the community. And then we start to see our hospitalizations go up. So here locally and then across the state of Colorado, we're very concerned with seeing spikes in 20 to 29-year-olds because the pattern and the modeling from other states say, yes, even if that age group is hit pretty mildly, once it's spreading amongst that age group, it will spread amongst age groups that are less likely to be hit mildly, and it will turn into more severe cases.
It goes back into we're all sort of in this together, and it seems like we're just about halfway through that 4 week part that you had talked about in seeing that. So is that right, or do you feel like we're still on the cusp of seeing that spread even more so?
I mean, I think the data will bear out in the next few weeks across Colorado. You know, Colorado has taken some steps since we started to get early indications of spread amongst 20 to 29-year-olds, and we saw, you know, there were some changes in statewide orders for whether or not bars could operate if they weren't restaurants. You know, so the state closed that. State of Colorado also moved up last call in our bars to 10 p.m. to sort of, you know, really limit how much socializing. We know that people aren't great at social distancing as they increase alcohol consumption. So there was this idea like, let's close the bars earlier, let's not have bars be open unless they're also restaurants serving food. We went with a statewide face covering order. And there is this idea that these measures can potentially mitigate what we're seeing in 20 to 29 year olds. If it doesn't, the next steps are probably going to be kind of reducing some of the gathering size. And we're already seeing some communities in Colorado say that like gatherings of 50 to 100 people are just not prudent right now. And, you know, turning that all the way back to where it was much earlier in this, which were, you know, 10 or less. So these things will all be discussed in the next couple of weeks if we can't get it under control.
And we're getting to that point soon where Fort Lewis College is opening their doors, which is right in that sweet spot of that demographic. And I believe it's one of the few that, or only one in your jurisdiction. What does that relationship look like on a college level?
You know, we're in very, very good communication with the college. And I think it's just difficult for everybody because we've all kind of gone through looking at the data, writing plans, thinking about how we would reopen, you know, and there's lots of considerations. There's students, there's staff, there's, you know, the community. This is not like a one size fits all answer. And everybody needs to be in a position to be making good decisions to, you know, to be safe and be healthy. And the difficult spot is a lot of times when the plans were being written, we were in that kind of lull of cases where we really had low transmission, right? For quite some time. I mean, all the way through June, La Plata County was a low transmission county, meaning that we had less than 25 cases per 100,000 residents in any 14-day period. We're now a medium transmission county, and we're surrounded by some high transmission counties. So what's difficult is, you know, the plans are written with really good attention to how do we keep everyone safe. But if the landscape continues to change around us, you know, the transmission is creeping up. The age group is, you know, when the plans were written, 20 to 29 year olds weren't the highest burden of disease. They are becoming that now. Testing, we expected to have enough testing in any given community so we could catch disease and, you know, box it in or stamp it out as soon as we found it. We're finding that we're getting test results significantly delayed, which is really hurting the ability to box in disease. You know, the best we can do is keep communicating about it, keep planning together and say that like there's a tremendous amount of unknowns and we're working through them as fast as we can.
You mentioned testing earlier, maybe a couple weeks ago now. Mercy had announced that they are lessening the number of tests that they are doing every day down to, I think it was almost unlimited, down to like 50 now, and switching their hours around. You and I had talked a little bit last week about what that looks like for San Juan Basin and how you're pivoting with other communities and companies. How is that going for you now?
We are, we should have some good news to announce here directly. We're doing kind of a soft opening of some new community testing sites this week and just working out the kinks, and then we'll figure out what we can handle there. But that was a partnership that came together quickly from the city of Durango, La Plata County, the sheriff's office, La Plata Integrated Health, and Animas Surgical Hospital. I hope I didn't forget anybody, but everyone came to the table and said, what can we do really quickly to stand up, you know, additional community testing. So this is really important that we have adequate testing in the community. But testing is what we do locally to collect samples. And then it's how quickly do they get processed when we send them out to labs for processing. And, you know, as much as we can control standing up additional specimen collection, and we have such, you know, gratefulness to all the community partners that have come together to work that out with us. If we're not turning around results quickly enough, we're still not able to contain disease as we should as a public health community.
And this was a push from Governor Polis that made a big announcement, said, hey, this is not okay. This turnaround time is not working out. When do we see those results in that shorter time frame coming in? Or is this sort of a wait and see what that looks like?
So in Colorado, we send test samples to the state lab, and the state lab was doing about 2,000 tests a day. They've added in a third shift. They should be processing 3,000 tests a day. I know that there were some kinks to work out growing from 2,000 to 3,000, but there's still a backlog there. So that doesn't mean that we're instantly turning around test results once they get up to 3,000. Then we also have a lot of tests that go to private labs, and these are some large corporate private labs that were serving Western states that were seeing surges, just statewide surges. And so those private labs also fell behind at the same time that our public testing at the state lab got overwhelmed. So, what's happening is kind of a resetting of the board, trying to increase testing capacity in multiple places. It doesn't help to continue to collect more specimens if we can't get them processed in a timely fashion. So there's kind of a multi-pronged effort going on there. We'll see what happens in the next, week or so to see if they start turning them around a lot faster. But even through the end of July, we were seeing tremendous delays locally from the state lab. So, people are working on it as fast as they can. Still haven't worked out everything to contain this disease in this country.
Leanne Jalan, Executive Director of San Juan Basin Public Health Department. Anything else you'd like to add for us here today?
Again, it's just a big thank you to the community for doing their part. We see a lot of people, using their face coverings downtown. We see, lots of people in businesses and workplaces really maintaining social distancing and using face coverings. And, these are all really important steps. So thank you for all of the work that's going in, and we'll, keep at it on our end. And, this is taking a whole effort of a whole community.
Leanne Jalan, thanks so much for joining us here today on KSUT for our COVID-19 update.